Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Oh, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your omniscient presence, Lord. We thank you for your love, for your care, for your forgiveness, for your mercy, oh God. Father, we ask that you allow us this day, as we yield to you today with all of our members, with our heart, mind, body, and soul, with our hands and our feet, our eyes and ears and lips, oh God, today. With the blood flowing through our veins, we honor you today. We bow down before you today. And God, we give you praise. We give you glory. Because you are all that we need. You are more than enough. Father, we ask you to bless this word. Bless the hearers. And let the hearers be doers, oh God. We honor you today, Lord. Thank you for keeping us, healing us and protecting us. Lord, we pray for Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, oh God. We pray for the protection of Jerusalem. Lord, we pray, oh God, today, peace of America. Lord, that you bring stability in the Middle East. Father, continue to watch over them. Continue to protect them from the enemies that are coming from four sides. Father, we give you glory and honor. Today we want to speak a word, a quick word into your hearing, that the Lord would pray, that the Lord would allow me to deliver this word. I'm very, very tired, to tell you the truth. I'm extremely tired today. But I want to talk about, are you prepared for the famine that's ahead? Are you prepared for the famine that's ahead? You know, I was watching the news yesterday evening. They was talking about all of these Walmarts and Kmarts and Sears stores and Macy's and Nordstrom's and all these stores that are closing down. Hundreds upon hundreds of stores that are closing. And all these different drug stores and grocery stores that are closing down all in a lot of different in many states. And they say that it's going to get even worse. The reporter was saying maybe it's not happening in your state yet, but it's coming to your state. So I heard the Lord saying, are you prepared for the famine that's coming? And famine means that food is going to be scarce. Everything that you need is going to become real scarce. All the things that the necessities that you need, the things that you need, that is milk, sugar, soft drinks, chicken, beef, hamburgers, hot dogs, all the things that you need, canned foods and stuff that you need, going to get scarce. It's getting scarce. In some states, the shelves are empty. People have to drive over to another country to get food. Are you prepared? Are you starting to store up some stuff? Even water, you're going to have to store up water because it's going to get scarce. We want to talk about, are you prepared for the famine that's ahead or the famine that's coming? If you're prepared, well, okay. And if you're not prepared, you need to get prepared. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, and then we're going to come back and go over to Amos. We can go a lot of different places if the Lord leads me. Hopefully that might. Hopefully I'll get some energy to really release this word. But pay attention to what I'm saying. And I hope that you have some paper and a pen. We're talking about, are you prepared for the famine that's ahead? Famine is coming, and there's no escape from it. Ezekiel chapter 3, and then we'll go to Ezekiel 32, and then we'll go to Amos, and then we'll come over to Matthew and so. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 32. And I want you to see this word. And verse 7 to 10. Verse 7 to 10. Ezekiel. Let's see, that's what I got on the page, right? Okay. Go ahead. The prophet is speaking what the Lord has given to him to speak to Israel. Speak to Israel, Judah and Jerusalem. They form Israel. At once there was Judah and Jerusalem, but they came together and formed one, Israel. Okay? So, but at this time he's speaking to Judah and Jerusalem. Speaking to these two, what you would say, nations or things that come together to make one nation, which is the people of God who came out of Egypt. And he said, I will cover you at extinguishing your heavens. And I will make dark the stars. I will cover the sun with the cloud. And the moon will not give its light. See? This is what happened when a famine is taking place. You don't have enough light. It's just like wartime. The lights are off. You're in darkness and you have to feel your way around. So he says, all sources of light in the heaven will make them, I will make them dark over you. This is what God is saying. The reason why God is doing this is because the people have rejected his word. We're going to go to a place in the Bible where he says that the people, there's going to come a time where the people are going to search for the word. They're going to look, want to find the word, because there's going to be so much catastrophes going on. So much trials, so much tribulations going to be in the earth. People are going to want to hear the word, want to find the word to find some comfort, but there's not going to be any word for them. God going to completely shut off the word from their hearing. He says, and I will disturb the hearts of many people at my bringing about your captivity among the nations to countries that you do not know. I will cause many people to be harsh over you. See, when the people reject God, God was loving on the people. Always. He never stopped loving the people. But God always going to whip them. He's going to whip us. He's a good father who chastises the kid, his children. The Bible says he chastens those that he loves. So God's going to chastise us as we reject his word and we are in the world, doing the things of the world, the things that pleases our flesh. This flesh is some mess, man. You could be with the Lord for so long, and then all of a sudden, you just don't want to be with him. He says, I would disturb the hearts of many people at my bringing about your captivity among the nations to countries that you do not know, and I will cause many people to be awestruck over you, and their kings will shudder over you in horror. At my brandishing my sword before their faces, and they will tremble continually, each person for his life on the day of your downfall. People is taking what the Lord said or saying, because the Lord never stops saying, lightly. And I tell you, I say woe to those people that are teaching the soft gospel. That gospel that is not really the gospel. They're preaching another gospel, you know, the gospel that make the people feel happy, the happy gospel, the one that tickle their ears. You know, if you hear preachers, people saying that preacher real good, man, I like that preacher, guarantee he not preaching no conviction. That preacher, whether it's a woman or a man, they're not preaching in conviction. They're preaching a happy message, because when they preach that happy message, the people jumping and skipping, and, oh, because you're not touching your soul. You're touching their head. Here in the book Ezekiel, he said, I will cover you at extinguishing your heavens. The fall of Egypt is cast in cosmic dimensions. It affects all of creation. The use of Babylon as Yahweh's divine agent of destruction is common motive throughout Ezekiel oracles against Egypt. Now, this seventh oracle depicts Egypt's descent into the underworld. Many other nations are already there to greet Egypt, echoing the scene from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9 to 15. The image of the descent to the underworld was used previously in Tyre, Ezekiel 26 and 20. And Egypt, Ezekiel 31 and 16. The description of each nation languishing in Sheol, in hell, is highly formalic and repetitive. Each nation shares the same fate. While they may have been powerful and feared on earth, they all must bear the shame of their defeat and descend into death. Egypt's fate will be just like theirs, providing a small measure of consolation for Pharaoh. Now, here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, let's look over there, Ezekiel, chapter 3. We're talking about, are you prepared for the famine? And sad to tell you, the famine is coming. And when you hear people crying out, they don't have stuff to eat. And you say, man, I got all this stuff in the fridge. I got my freezer. I got an extra freezer. I don't have no extra freezer. I wish I had one. I always want to get one, but I never take the time. Even in the marketplace on Facebook where people sell them for $75, $100 or something like that, you know. But I think about going and buying a freezer from somebody. And you know, they tell me they just had it a couple of years or 1 year or something like that. It may look good, smell good sight, but you don't know how long that they had it, how long the compressor was running. So you may buy something and all of a sudden, first couple of months is gone, you're buying as this. So I would have to get a new freezer, one to put in the garage. But here, let's go into this text here and let's talk about this preparation, being prepared for the times that are coming. Because, you know, a lot of people don't really believe what's coming is coming. A lot of people don't believe. I talked to some of my family members and they said, oh, you are the conspiracy conspiracy theory. That's what it says. But I know that these things are happening because I get dreams about them. I get dreams about what's happening and what's going to happen. And sometimes, I never had a dream that was so scary. I tell you, it was truly scary. I know if you ever had a dream like that, but I had a dream that I was in this big house and I was telling my family, I said, you know what, and four men come in the house and they were looking to kill me. And there was a little girl in the house. She came to the house. I didn't know what she come there for, but I didn't even know who she was, but she come and I held her and put my hands to her mouth and tell her don't say anything. I could see the people come, the four men coming. They had these long guns, like machine guns. You know, they had the head covered and the face covered. And I held a little girl, but they had information that I was upstairs because the house had like three floors, three levels. And when they went up the stairs, I'd kick my shoes off, and the little girl and I went out the house, and I escaped them. I woke up after the dream. And then when I went back and started looking at my life, and I think about, I'm very radical on Facebook, and I attack these different folks, you know, or talk against them, those folk that don't like Christians, that don't like Jews, you know what I'm saying? Them radical people that they're so full of hate. and I saw them coming to kill me. But in my spirit, the Lord, I didn't have no fear. It's like the Lord was saying, you don't have to fear. I'm your protector. I am your protector. And I just woke up out of the dream. I said, wow, you have to really watch what you're seeing and what you're doing. And then when you travel out, you got to be careful, you know, because people are going to want to hurt you because of who you are and whose you are. And even this time that we're traveling out, you have to watch it because people want to hurt us because we belong to Jesus. Here in Ezekiel chapter 3, this is what he says. Let's jump down to verse 7, just like we started at verse 7 just now. Let's go at verse 7. Let me see here. Let's put this inside here. Let's start at verse 1. This is taking about what God gave to Ezekiel to give to the people. The people wouldn't eat it. They wouldn't take. He told Ezekiel, and he said to me, I'm in the Logos Bible now. I could go to the King James, because I got both trade them here. And the Logos Bible, he said to me, son of man, what you find? Eat the scroll and go. Speak to the house of Israel. And I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, son of man, you must give your stomach to eat, and you must fill your belly with the scroll that I am giving to you. And I ate, and it became like sweet honey in my mouth. And he said to me, son of man, come, go to the house of Israel, and you must speak to them with my words, for you are sent to the house of Israel, not to a people of obscure speech or people that don't understand your language. That's what he's saying. And of different language, and not to many nations to obscure speech, and a different language, whose words you do not understand. For if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. And the house of Israel, and of the house of Israel, they are not willing to listen to you. First, for they are not willing to listen to me. For all the house of Israel is hard of forehead, stiff-necked, and they are hard of heart. But look, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads, like a diamond, harder than flint. I have made your forehead. You must not fear them, and you must not be dismayed on account of them. And for they are a rebellious house. Verse 10 says, and he said to me, son of man, all of my words that I shall speak to you, receive into your heart and hear with your ears, and come and go to the exile, to the children of your people, and you must speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord, whether they listen or whether they fail to listen. And the Spirit lifted me up, verse 12, and I heard behind me the sound of a great earthquake, when the glory of God rose from its place. Now, and all the stuff that's going to be happening in the earth, because it's already in process, it's already in progress, it's already taking place, people don't want to hear. You're saying right now, they don't want to hear the word. They're rebelling in all the nations, or all the continents, everywhere they're rebelling. They don't want to hear none but God. They have their own mindset. They have their own thinking of how God should do stuff. Here in the book of Amos, he says, Amos chapter 8, pastor says, the one who reads, next month we're going to be fasting on this chapter. You're going to be passing on chapter 8 and 9. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Listen to what God is saying. This is why we got to study this word. God is speaking to us. God said that he is sending a famine on the earth. Not a famine of food. We know we're going to have a famine of food. But there's going to be a severe famine of the word of God. In other words, God is going to hide his word from the people. Because he has been speaking to the people for years. And the people has continually rejected his word. I'm not interested in that stuff. I'm not interested in that Jesus stuff. They tell you straight to your face. I'm not interested in it. They tell you. You pouring out of your heart to them. Here in the Logos Bible, it says, verse 7, Yahweh has sworn, pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is Amos chapter 8, verse 7. Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. On account of this, will not the land tremble, and will not every living thing in it mourn, and all of it will rise like the Nile, and it will be tossed about and subside like the Nile of Egypt. And then, in that day, declares my Lord Yahweh, I will make the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the land on a day of light. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all of your songs into lament. And I will put sackcloth on all loins, and baldness on every head. And I will make it like the mourning for an only child, and its end like a bitter day. Look, the days are coming, declares my Lord Yahweh, when I will send famine in the land. Not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, of hearing the words of Yahweh. And they will wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east. They will roam about to seek the word of Yahweh, but they will not find it. In that day, the beautiful young women and the young men will faint because of thirst for the word. These are those who swear by guilt of Samaria and say, by the life of your gods, this is what they say, O Dan, and by the life of the way of Beersheba, they will fall and they will not rise again. Famine going to take out thousands upon thousands, if not millions of people going to die. You don't want to believe it. You don't have to. But this is what God said. Hearing the words of Yahweh, Israel was happy to reject Yahweh's message. When it was available to them, Yahweh will withdraw the revelation. Now, we're teaching and preaching every day on Blog Talk Radio. There's people in many different countries that sent us emails thanking us and giving God glory. Because I tell them, you know what, I don't need no accolades from nobody. And somebody said, Pastor, that was a good word, that's fine. God give the glory. God get the glory. He gets it all. Today I was so tired. I mean, so tired. I said, Lord, I started falling asleep while the worship was going on. And I said, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? Lord, I'm going to go back in the computer, and I'm just going to change the date for tomorrow. But the Lord says, no, you stand up, and you go on and teach it. And after you teach, you can get some rest. Here, Israel reject the word of God, just like people are rejecting the word now. How many churches you see that only got 10 members, 20 members? Yes, you got some that have 35,000, 20,000, 50,000, and they have four or five services. Some of them got four services a day. But when you go by day, you don't hear them talking about holiness. You don't hear them talking about sin. You don't hear them talking about the blood, about the cross. You don't hear them talking about none of that stuff. You know what they're talking about? Oh, God wants to bless you. You just got to know that if you just give your tithes and give your offerings, God wants to bless you. You just got to keep coming in and give God what belongs to God. They stress that a lot. We need money to pay the bills, pay the light bill and the water bill and so on. But it ought to be not about that. It ought to be reaching them people where they are. Tell them about the love of God. Hallelujah. Because if you don't get this thing, if we don't put it out, people are going to say, well, you know what? I just love my church. I just love my church because my pastor's a good, she's a good pastor. My pastor's a good evangelist, good prophetess. Of course, they wouldn't tell you nothing, put you in that hole and keep you in that hole. Soul and flesh, everything going to die. Eternal death, because you're not getting. Israel reject the word of God and God withdraw. The Bible says he withdraw right here in this text here. Amos chapter 8. He pulled back his word, the revelation of the word. The guilt of Samaria, another likely wordplay alluding to the idolatry of Israel. The Hebrew word here usually is translated sin, or guilt. Sounds similar to the name of the Canaanite gods, Asherah. King Ahab had erected an Asherah image in Samaria. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 32 and 33. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 6. See, people begin to, you see folk now today, they got to putting on themselves 666. They have upside down cross tattoo on their bodies. Because why? They're into satanic worship. Some of them put a cross on them with a man or something, long hair, blue eyes and all that on their body. God is not on the cross. He's not on the cross. I have a cross too that I wear sometimes. I put on around my neck when I wear the collar, but it don't have no figure on it. It's a plain cross, and I keep it next to my heart. Why? Because I remind me of what He has done for me on that cross. But I'm not worshiping no idol on a cross. Now it becomes an idol worship. He says, "Oh Dan, the religious location established by Jeroboam in the way of Bathsheba, an unusual formula for an oath, but possibly alluding to some otherwise unknown location worship practices connected with Bathsheba. These people rejected God and they were worshiping an unknown God. A God that can't walk, can't talk, can't do nothing for them." Let's look over here at 1 Kings. Let's look at 1 Kings, King James Bible. 1 Kings. Look, the famine coming. I tell you something. You might hear a whole lot of stuff. But I'm telling you today, Lord put this in my heart last night. And I said, okay, Lord, we'll talk about it. Because a lot of people have the mindset that if they don't see it, they don't believe it. You know, I told the people that how fast things are going to change. And some folk were saying, why did God say that? Why saying that? Now it's happening. Things are changing real fast. You know, they're talking about digital dollar so they can monitor every dime that you make. And when they want to move your money to do what they want to do, they can move your money anytime. You don't have no control. They're taking away complete control. President Biden, I wrote down the number. I can't remember the number off the top of my head because I didn't register in my heart. I think it's 14140072 is the number that he wrote, the bill that he just signed. He wrote the bill, signed the bill, and it's they're setting up for continuous surveillance. They're going to do like China. We're becoming like China. They're going to put cameras on every pole. Every street pole going to have cameras. So wherever you go, they can monitor you. They can see you. Don't care where you go. He just signed that bill. A lot of people don't know that. It's called the bill 14072. People are sitting down. They say, and everything is all right. But you don't know they're trying to take away all your freedom. You can't go to the mall. They can see you in the mall. They can see you at the gas station. They can see where you go to the store. Everything you do. If you go to get some money, if you go, because you're going to get digital, you've got cards that you get this a credit card. Everything going to be digital. That's what they're doing. It's supposed to start very shortly. It's already in motion. The Fed's going to be in control of your money, all money. And if you want to spend some money, you got to spend money off of the digital card. Just like a check card. But you ain't going to have no control over it. They got to control everything. If you're doing spending too much, they can stop you. They can stop your money. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And if you're making too much money and they don't understand where your money coming from, they hold on all your money. They hold on all your money. I'm telling you something. This thing is serious. But they vote for that. That's what the people vote for. They wanted Obama. They got what Obama was saying for them. They wanted Biden. They got. I didn't vote for Obama. Neither I didn't vote for Biden either. You know, because I don't care if you're black or yellow. I'm looking for the principles. You know, don't let nobody come with no sweet talk to you. And you sell your soul out because they have this good talk. Well, it's a black man. He talks real nice. He's proper. He speaks very proper. Oh, he uses a lot of elaborate words, and he knows. You know, he's well learned and well educated and all that stuff. That don't take care of you. You voting for somebody because they speak well, and then once you put them in there, then you realize all the mess that they put on you. Same-sex marriage, planning for sanctioned abortion and killing the babies, and sex trafficking and human trafficking and organ trafficking, all that stuff. They're part of all that system because it's satanic. That's why God is putting the family in line, because the family gonna bring the family gonna bring people to their knees. 1 Kings chapter 16, look up verse 32 and 33. Listen what he says. 32 and 33. Well, let's go there. He says, and he reared up an altar for Baal, in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And he had made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. You look and see that we had preachers before. I remember coming up in the church. I would go to church. I'd go because my mama wanted me to go. at the time. You know, I was a wild man. But I just watched them older ladies back then. They wear their dress all the way down past the calf. And they used to beat that. They didn't have no keyboard, they had no drums, no trombone or saxophone and all that stuff like they got in church now. And I'm not against the brass instruments or nothing like that. I'm not against the drums. But they had tambourines and they was foot stamping and making the music with their foot stamping and hitting them tambourines and they were praying, singing to the Lord. And I tell you, you get that Pentecostal apostolic move inside the church was so powerful because them people were sold out. They died praising God. And then when they have a night shutting, man, oh my God, they had shutting for 2-3 nights in a row. And I tell you, it was so powerful inside that place. You could feel the presence of God in that house. Today they're turning and laying dancing and all that stuff, got the spotlights and the dry ice and smoke coming up the altar and doing all that stuff. They're not interested in the word of God. They're not interested in the word of God. Well, you see this girl here, what's her name? Tasha Hobbs. You see her go in and she's in agreement sanctioning Beyonce. She don't, you're gonna go and well, Beyonce's, oh, she's a Christian woman. She ain't no Christian. She worships Satan. The Bible said two of us cannot walk together unless we're in agreement. See, they want to hook up with them folk because those folk would give them big money. They don't care about that money. Beyonce would give her a check for $1 million. That don't hurt her. Beyonce is super rich. She's a billionaire. And Tasha Cobbs is going over there. She's going over there talking, having conference with Beyonce. And saying Beyonce saved. She ain't no more saved than my dog. She ain't more saved than my dog. We cannot get ourselves involved with these folk that these idol worshippers, Satan, worshiping Satan and seeing but one. I'm praying for you. I pray for any one of them. I don't care who they are. I pray for them. But I'm not going to be in agreement. I ain't going to your show. I'm not going to your show. I'm not going to, I'm not buying your records. None of that stuff. You know, I'm watching your videos. None of that stuff. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. You see? You know, when you start to mess with the devil, he tries to say, he messed with the computer. Now the computer going crazy now. But he's a liar, but God's still in control. But I want to tell you that the famine is coming, and even if I got to go home from here to be with the Lord, you will see it for yourself. If you're still here on this side of the grave, you will see it. It's coming. Big famine, too. Big famine is coming. And if you haven't stored up, you understand? If you're not stored up, all that stuff that they put in the food, people getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. Sicker and sicker. Why are they getting sick? Because they're not doing what God says. I just last week, I started to tell you all last week before, I started getting these pains in my back. My doctor said I had a little problems going on with my kidneys. So I said, well, he didn't give me no medication, none of that, because I didn't want all that stuff. That's when they tell me, diabetes, that's okay. I got some herbs for that. I knocked that thing out. I got some bitter melon capsules and stuff, you know, like we use in the gorge we got in the Caribbean. And I got me some dandelion. And I put dandelion, I put a teaspoon inside my tea every morning. My kidneys know everything flowing fine. Flowing fine. You got to go back to the basics, man. Get into the Word and see what God said. You got to plant some stuff. You got some, look, you don't need a whole lot of stuff. You say, well, I live in a townhouse. I live in a condominium. You say, I don't have a big lot of land. Look, you can get some plant pots and put on your patio. I don't have a big backyard, but I got some big boxes that they built in the back. And I fill them up with dirt. I got some big plant pots too. There was trash cans I had, and trash bars of plastic, and I cut them down in half, fill them up with dirt. And I got so much old stuff that I harvest and got in the freezer. Man, you got to do this because when this stuff go down, you got to be able to sustain yourself. Bottle up, can some stuff, bottle some stuff, get some glass jars and prepare. I said, this is the message, man. Are you prepared for the famine that's ahead or the famine that's coming? Are you prepared? Or you just sitting home watching TV and say, well, it's okay, I got my Bible. You need more than the Bible. You need to use the wisdom and understand that we were teaching about before. Don't sit home like you don't know what's going on. God is writing the book. He told you here in the book of Amos and in the book of Ezekiel. He said, I'm going to pull back. I'm going to withdraw the revelation. That's what he said. Because the people reject the word. And we're seeing it all over this nation. In Africa, in India, China, people are fighting. They said they're beating the Christians down there with 2x4s in India, busting their head open because they're preaching Jesus. We got an opportunity to preach Jesus and teach Jesus here and tell people how to live holy, and we wouldn't tell them because we'd be worrying about making money, getting a big bank account that you can't take with you when you leave here. Even if you get sick in the hospital, you got all that money. You get afraid now because you're wondering if you're going to die. You're wondering if you're going to die because you got all that money. Can't even give God glory. First Kings. Oh, let's go to Second Kings chapter 13. God ain't playing, man. God is not playing. He's serious. He wants us to get on one accord with him, understand what he's seen, and he wants us to do what he wants us to do. Second Kings chapter 13 and verse 6. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sin of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein, and they remained the grove also in Samaria. See, right back there, First Kings. Ahab build a statue of Asherah. They were doing idol worship, rejecting God. Today the people do every and anything that they want to do that make them feel good. Even some of these preachers. Even some of these congregational members. They go to church and then they go and act a fool. And you can't walk with God and die for the devil. You can't do it. You got to make them. Which partner do you want to have? Who are you going to serve? Or who are you serving for real? Because God knows who we're serving. Either you're serving him or you're serving the devil. My granddaughter says, she said, Grandpa, you don't go anywhere at all. I said, I don't have nowhere to go but the house of the Lord. I go to the house of the Lord and come back home. Yeah, I had my time already in the world. And it didn't do me no justice. Matter of fact, it almost took my life. Here we says in the book of, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I just want to give you a little something. You know, I was so tired before. Oh, my Lord, and no, I'm not tired. I've still got a little heaviness in my eyes, but not that tired. Because once you start to get in this word, you start to get this word inside your belly, he just rejuvenates you. 1 Corinthians chapter, glory to God, 5. Let's see what you got, what we got here. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. Got to go to church building tonight at 6:30 this evening and take this communion stuff down there for Sunday. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when we're talking about, are you prepared for the famine that's ahead? Tell you, don't get caught. Don't get caught without. Let's look at verse 7. He said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See, we have to change. See, no. When Israel was coming out of Egypt, they didn't have time to add the yeast in. So the bread came out flat without yeast. See, when you're putting all that stuff inside of you that don't belong inside of you, that ungodly stuff, what it do is just blow you up like the world. He said, no, remove that stuff. The yeast you put inside of us, we put in us. Because we want to keep up with the Joneses and the Jeffersons and all these people. We want to keep the way they talk, the way, you know, we want to keep up with the swag and the lingo and everything. No, we got to stop talking like them, acting like them. That is yeast. And what it does is that it makes us become like them. We don't want to be like them. We want to be like Christ. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you got to take that yeast out. Hallelujah. See, Christ, that was removed from the Passover. So now he says there, glory to God, Exodus chapter 12. I just want to put a little something over here because the flesh almost made me change the date. I was so tired, and the flesh almost made me change the date. It says, go back in the computer before it came up and change the date for tomorrow just to minister for tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit says, no, just go on and do what you got to do. I'm going to take care of you. And he's taking care of me right now. I tell you, he energized me. Chapter 12 of Exodus, because we got to get ourselves right. You and I, we got to get ourselves right. This thing is so serious. I'm telling you that, listen to me, people of God. I love you all so much. I hope you love me as much as I love you. But I'm telling you something. I know God loves us more. But I'm telling you something. A lot of preachers and congregation members going to get caught undone. You hear what I'm telling you? Because this thing going to happen so fast. This thing going to happen so fast on this nation. It's going to happen so fast. You think people heard it now? Watch and see what's going to happen within the next 6 months. You're going to get a whiff of it in the next 2-3 months. But in 6 months, it's going to be full blast. It's going to be full bloom. I was telling my granddaughter, I said, look out there. We still got some tomatoes out there. Tomatoes on the vine. We got to pick them and bring them in because the weather's changing. I was able to bring in one of my pineapple plants. They're getting ready to make pineapple, and it's very big. And I had to bring it up. That's in a big pot, big bucket. But the others I got, they're in the ground. And I had to cover them over. You have to plant some stuff. You got to plant you some melons and stuff, some pumpkins and stuff that's going to feed your body. You understand? You got to do this stuff. Don't wait till stuff happen, I'm telling you. Plant you some orange. Got them little miniature orange trees. You can buy the seeds from Amazon, and you tree don't grow no more than about 2-3 feet, and you got mega oranges, lemons, all that stuff you can get, and get that stuff for you ready to take care of your body. You don't have to eat a whole lot to be filled, because that stuff have the nutrients that you have. You have a whole piece of chicken. You don't have to all that stuff, just a little bit, because what you're putting is nourishment, full of nutrients. Understand? So here in Exodus chapter 12, let me go and start at verse 15. Listen to what he says, Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. Some people jumping off, that's all right. Verse 15, listen, this is fine. I'm talking with you because, you know, I take care of my body. I'm 74 years old, just turned 74, and I feel real, real good. I know when my doctor, he was amazed when I was 73 and saw him. He said, man, you look good for 73. And he said, Everything is oh, just a couple little things. He said, but I know you can take. He said, because you where you at? When I went back to him, he said, oh, well, I see your blood pressure good. You see your sugar's good. Yeah, I don't got to put you in because you got to take care of your body. Listen to what he says here. Let's start at verses 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day, you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now see, God wants us to get our lives in order. God has given us instructions on how to live, how to worship him. And so, Pastor was telling me, he's talking about Holy Communion first Sunday. So I have Holy Communion. I thought the Bible says, it's often you do this through some remembrance of him. I said, but I try my best to take up the Sabbath day and have Holy Communion every Saturday. I have Holy Communion with you on the first Sunday. But my day is Saturday. And I start my Sabbath from Friday sundown. You know, because I'm getting this body and my spirit in order and right. See, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm prepared for whatever happens. Whatever happens, I'm prepared. No, he said, look. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Hear what I'm saying? So many people are looking for the crowds. But you ought to be looking for the clouds, not the crowds. Follow the clouds. He said, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until 1 and 20th day, the 21st day of the month, at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Hear what God is saying. Even if you got somebody that is visiting the house, you know, even if they're the foreigner, they got to follow the ordinance. This is important. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. In all your habitations shall you unleavened bread. God has given us instructions how to honor him. We got to think about it. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We'll come back to the Old Testament. Acts chapter 12. Go to jump back and forth. You get to practice your Bible. Acts chapter 12. We in King James. In Lucas Bible got a lot of stuff to it, but I like to just go like this. Acts chapter 12. Glory to God. And let's see what it says. Holy Spirit. 12. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. You see, Herod was tired of killing the servants of God. It said now about that time Herod, the king stretched forth his hand and vexed certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the people, now that's what happened, see? There's these folk here that you see all this stuff going on. In every country, nearly every country, You have people protesting against Israel or Jerusalem. And they see that it's pleasing a lot of people. A lot of people that come because they don't care for the Jews and they don't care for Christians. Now, you can say what you want to like, want to say. But I say this to my family. I say, look, all Muslims are not terrorists, but all terrorists is Muslims. See the difference? You have some Muslims that are good people, but you got some Muslims that would cut off your head and don't even, I can't even fathom in my spirit, man. And I don't care what religion you are. Any person just taking a machete and cutting off another person. I remember the man that killed his girlfriend over in California a couple of summers ago. Just cut off her head. And the blood going up in the air. He said, well, this might hurt something. How can you have such hatred in your heart that you would cut off another human's limbs and you don't even feel anything? That's the devil. How can you look at little babies that haven't even spoken a word, haven't even said da-da or mama, and you'll cut them off the head and let them cut open a woman's belly because she's a Jew. Cut open her belly and she's got a child in there, and then the baby come and you kill the baby, cut off the baby head. Man, that's some evil. Oh, my God. And then you're going to say, these folks come here. And I tell you, I send the senators, they send me a lot of stuff. They said, well, what do you want the Congress to do? I said, I want the Congress. This is my thing. I said, I never want the Congress. Deport any of them. All of them that, where you get them, arrest them, lock them up first, and then send them out the country. They come to this country, and they get this, a grant to go to these colleges, all colleges here in our nation. All taxpayers are paying for them. And then they write, want to kill Christians, want to kill Jews. In this country, look, I've been in Africa several times, and they have a lot of Muslims. You think I can go into Africa and start talking about against the Muslims? Man, I would either go to jail or I would lose my life. But they come to this country, we give them the benefit to do what they want to do because we're free speech. We're free speech for them, but we're not free speech for the Christian. Because you know they're cutting the tick. They come against us. The government come against us. But don't go against them people that hypocrites that all they do is exalt Satan. Because that's what they're doing. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Herod saw that when he killed them, that he can take that going after other people. You must understand where we in. The famine has already begun, but it's going to come to full bloom very shortly. Because people are watering down. They have a lot of lemons inside the juice. A lot of sugar in the juice now. It's so sweet you can't even taste the lemons. That's what they're doing to the Word of God. It's so sweet. The Word is watered down so much that you can't get no conviction out of it. Preach, not all the preachers. No, not all the preachers. I tell you the truth. Not all the preachers. Because you got some preachers that are cutting up. They're cutting up. They want you to live. They want you to live holy. Acts chapter 20. They want you to live holy. And they're going to tell you, even if you don't come back to their church, to the house of worship, they're going to tell the truth. That's what we want. We want preachers that were not afraid to tell the truth. And not going to sanction your foolishness. That's okay. Just come on in. No, you give your tithe, or you give offerings. You know, God, I just want you to come and give your offering, give your tithe. You'll be all right. No. If you're jacked up in the spirit, I tell you, come on. But you're not going to stay jacked up in the spirit. You're not going to stay jacked up in the spirit. Apostle Stuart had a fellow over there was playing a keyboard over there. Played a keyboard real good. My apostle got a word, and he's preaching now. He's a priest. He says, but everybody, you know, New Testament, they say, Bob said, everybody greet each other with a holy kiss. Man, a man got up, he was watching this girl, and he got from behind the keyboard and gone down and dropped his tongue in the girl's mouth. And there, Pastor said, Pastor, pulling them apart. No, That's not what I was saying. The guy was giving a French kiss. That's what he wanted to do. And he sent that parcel cut out all of that musicians and all that stuff. And he got some sanctified ladies that are singing in the praise team, the choir. And they sing along with the CDs. Because these people, folk, they're doing the stuff, the worship music. Donnie McClurkin talking about the worship music is not for God anymore. People, make the people happy. And then when the preacher comes, they're looking at the clock on the wall. Because they ain't there for the word. They're there to dance. Dance to the music. Line dancing and all this stuff they're doing. Electric slide and all that stuff. That's not worshiping God. Moses told Aaron, God told Moses to give Aaron a plan. Give Moses a plan to build, to make the clothes, get the clothes, make the garments, the holy garments for Aaron and his sons. And he said to come to minister to me first. They would come and minister to God first. We don't realize, we don't understand that when we go in there to preach, we are preaching to God first. God is receiving the worship from us. He's receiving the word from us. Then for the people. We go in there, these women go in the church and they got these tight pants. And then they got these tops that cut real low. I'm in the church, I don't pay them no mind. But you got some people down there sitting in the church, some young men. And some middle-aged men too. And looking at the women because their breasts coming out the bra. Some of them don't even have no bra on. And you can see their nipples print out. Why, you not hearing no word? Your flesh is still so strong. You ain't hearing the word the preacher trying to preach. You study watching that woman there on the altar. And her nipples sticking out. You can see her cleavage, all the breasts sticking out. Who you trying to entice? The man on the altar don't have no underwear on. You can see his down, hanging down his pants. It's hanging down there. Who you trying to attract? That's not for God. We ought to be dressed decent. And in order. Doing things decent in order. And dressed in the right apparel. We go in the church building, go in the building like we going to a discotheque. You go to the president, go to the White House, you want to make sure everything's perfect, your clothes look perfect. You ain't going on there with your pants dropping off your behind. Going to church, oh my God, go before God anyhow. I was watching one lady singing the internet on YouTube, and I said, who are these people singing to? And they got this little sharp pants with half of the cloth going on. Looked like a three-quarter pants. Because half of the pants down there, you can see the calf all up on the altar scene. All they're looking at, when they finish, how much money, thousands of dollars they're going to get, because there was thousands of people inside the place, big auditorium. Man, this thing got to become real. I'm ministering to God. God, let me, what I do, please you. If what I do don't please you, don't let me do it. Acts chapter 20, verse 6. These going before tarry for and we sail away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, unto them ready to depart on the moor, and continue to speak until midnight. Listen, Paul is preaching. You know he got to leave in the morning. He was long-winded like some of us. But he wanted them to get the truth. He wasn't cutting them. But Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost, being led by the Holy Ghost. You know, people, I was telling the pastor on Sunday, I said, when we was in the cabaret, we go to the nightclub, I said, and they said, last call for alcohol. I said, man, I used to go there. I ran to the bar, and I said, sometimes we had a little line. A lot of people get to the bar all at one time because they know the last call. And when I get to the, I said, look, give me three drinks. I said, give me three Black Russians, you know. Give me three vodka and tonic, gin and tonic. You know, I get three because it's the last call. And then I'm looking at the clock. I said, because it's close to 2 o'clock now because the club was shut down at 2 o'clock. And we won't beg to, we begging the DJ to play another song, play another couple of songs. We want to go on, go on, go on. And when we go to the house of the Lord, we're looking at the clock on the wall. Because the preacher, they put the clock right across from the altar. So when the preacher look up, he can see what time is. And the people looking at their watch, looking at the clock. Or they look back and look at the clock because they want to get over there. They ain't there to get the word. They already got the, they already danced to the worship music, the choir, and the praise team prayer. But the Bible said that Paul preached until midnight. And there were many lights upper chamber where they were gathered together, and they sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus. The Eutychus being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. But you know, Paul is full of the power. He was prepared, filled with the anointing, and Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Elijah did the same thing. We have to come to this place of telling people of God, may we get ready. We can't wait till he comes to get ready. We got to pray for discernment. We got to pray God strengthening in the areas where I'm weak. And the areas where I'm strong make me even stronger. I want to be able to bring glory to the kingdom. I don't want to do anything that will cause anybody to sin and go to hell. I don't want to be responsible for that. You understand? I want to give God praise. I want to give him glory. Let's go to, Lord have mercy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. I'm going to jump back and forth a little bit. I got a couple more scriptures I want to give you today. And then we'll get out of here. See what the Lord wants to give us tomorrow. Deuteronomy 16. See what the Lord give us tomorrow. Lord, say the same. Lord, we get some up here because my key is the thing is to get up here. We got too many people over in different countries that, and people are, they're not able to get Bibles, man. They're not able to get Bibles. You know, but to send Bibles from here today, it costs too much money. They don't have money to go buy Bibles. Deuteronomy 16 and verses 3 and 4. He says, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread. Therefore, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leaven, there shall be no leavened bread with thee in all thy course 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest for the first day remain all night until the morning. See, when you're going to serve God, God give you instructions. When we come in here, we ought to come in there empty, leaving everything outside. Your thoughts ought to be pure coming in before God. I've seen people in the house, man. Proverbs, I see people in the house, and the word of God is going forth. People that sit in saving sanctified, and they're busy with the phone, busy texting on the phone in the sanctuary. Preachers, I see the preacher sitting on the altar and texting. If you wanted somebody to be at the house with you, you ought to then send them a text message before you leave home. Man, when I leave home, sometimes I say, look, you know what? If I got to make an emergency, my truck got OnStar. I don't pay for it, but I can make emergency call from my car. Sometimes I just come out and say, look, man, I'm not even taking my phone to church. I'll leave it home. Because you put so much emphasis on the phone, got to have the phone, and then people know that you, at that particular hour, you should be in church. You should be in the house of the Lord with the brothers and sisters fellowshipping, and they're going to call you, text you, and know you can't even listen to what God is saying through the servant because you're focusing on the mess you get on your phone. Man, foolishness. Oh, here in the book of Matthew chapter 16, let us hit this last verse here, and we'll get out of here. Glory to God. There's a couple of them up there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 11. Jesus speaks. He said, how is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to your concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You see what I'm saying? Now, they came up with natural bread out of Egypt. But Jesus now is saying, no, you have to pay attention to the things that are being spewed out to you, that are being spoken to, that are being teach you, taught to you. People are saying stuff to you, but does it line up with God's word? You know, I listen to people come and preach here on Blog Talk Radio. And you know what I like? I like when you scripture elaborating. It lines up with the scripture. But preachers take one verse, they're like, today I'm going to preach to you this morning. I just want to drop a word in your hearing this morning. And I'm going to come up from Acts chapter 20, verse 16, Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, and just two verses, and they teach off or preach off of 15 verse, 15 pages or 20 pages that they write the night time. God, they want you to look at them that they as a great preacher. But what I want to hear is the word of God. Because, you know, my flesh still wants to do some slimy stuff. Do you hear me today? My flesh still wants, I don't know about you, I could just talk about mine. My flesh still wants to do some slimy stuff that don't give God glory. But when I hear you say to me, you're not supposed to do this according to God's word. If you do this or do that, you're going to end up in hell. And you're going to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone with the devil. Remember, that place was not made for mankind. It was made for the devil and his angels. Hallelujah. But if you continue in the way going that way that the devil is, you're going to end up over there, and then there's no coming back. There's only one way in, no way out. It scared the daylights out of me because my flesh said, no, go drink some more, go smoke some more, go sex up some more, go do some more stuff. But then I got to say, no. God, suppose you're sexing and you die on top of that woman, that man died on top of you. Or you die underneath that man. And you dying fornicating, dying committing adultery, dying breaking into somebody else stealing. Where you think you're going? You ain't got no chance to repent. Because David said, I can't praise you. I can't praise you from the grave. You can't repent from the grave. Yes or no, you having a good time, man. You got one life to live. You're having a good time. Just have a good time, man. Don't let nobody stop you from having a good time. You only got one life to live. These three men that died. Three men died and didn't taste life, death. Did not see death. I said, wow. What power that is. That men live, these men live so holy, so upright before God. God did not allow them to die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Talking about Enoch and Elijah and Melchizedek. Did not see death. It is possible for us to live after we come to Christ without going back into sin. We still have sin nature. Remember this. That's why people say, I'm a sinner. But I don't like saying I'm a sinner. I like saying I have sin nature. You know, people say, well, I'm a sinner. How can you be saved and still a sinner? I just don't understand that. It don't make sense to me. I got sin nature. This flesh is no good. But my spirit man is not sinning. It's saved and sanctified. It's delivered from sin. But this flesh still wants to sin. That's why I got to stay in the Word. Even I get this, I was laying on the bed and my eyes was just dropping down. I was praying to worship, my eyes just falling down. I felt I had to wash them with cold water to try to open me. But the Holy Spirit said, so look, I said, Lord, I'm just going to just sign it up for tomorrow. He said, just go on and turn on, and I'm going to give you what you need. And sure enough, now I'm alive right now. I'm alive right now. But this flesh wanted me to go to sleep. And if I lay down there on the bed and turn to say from today's time and say, well, coming on Thursday, guess what? Once I set the computer Thursday, I would not feel sleepy. I wouldn't feel sleepy anymore. I know that was the devil. Because he don't want me to teach this thing today. Because God wants us to get prepared for the famine that's coming. And not the famine of food. Yes, there's going to be a famine of food coming. We ain't going to have enough food. There's some states that don't have enough food. Some lady was telling me that they had to go live in Chicago, Detroit or somewhere. She said they had to leave and go Michigan. She said they had to go over another county to find food because the stores in the neighborhood was all, didn't have nothing on the shelf, not sold out, just didn't have anything on the shelves. Where are we going to suffer for food, natural food, and spiritual food? Because God says that he's going to, in the book of Amos, he said that he's going to hold back the word from me, withdrawing the word, the revelation of the word. So people are going to search for the word and can't find it. They're going to become hungry and thirsty, but it's just like you're trying to get in the house, like the people with no time. When the water starts to flood and the ark starts to rise up on the water, people was in the water, knocking on the boat, knocking on that boat that Noah and his three sons and three daughter-in-laws and his wife was in the animals. They were knocking on the side trying to get in, but God had closed the door. Noah closed the window. Well, they couldn't get all the way up there. If Noah even wanted to let them in, he couldn't let them in because God closed the door. You understand? The Bible said God shut the door. They never want to get in. So what God is going to do, according to the book of Amos and the book of Ezekiel, God is going to shut the word up, and nobody going. They're going to want to hear the word then, but it's going to be too late. They're not going to hear it. This is why he says to go in the highway, the hedges and highway and hedges, and teach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone that has an ear, let them hear. If they reject it, it's going to be on them. It's going to be on them. But we got to preach this thing. We got to tell them there's only one way, Jesus. Don't care what everybody says. There's only one way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. If they're coming any other way, there's a thief and a robber. Understand what I'm telling you. This is the truth. We have to prepare people, because when the time comes, you're not going to, soon they're going to knock this thing off the computer. I got about 10 Bibles, different Bibles downloaded on my computer. And so when we go in there, you're not going to find them, because why? They're going to block you out. When you go to the Christian bookstore, they ain't going to have no books. Guess what? Because they're going to come against that. The bookstore, they're going to tell me, you know, just like they come and shut down praying school, they're going to shut down Christian bookstores. Because Satan is on his last leg. His time is short, and he's doing everything to stop this gospel from going forward. That's why we gotta go there. Look, if you get a chance to preach at the street corner, preach. Don't say, well, I just want to go to the building where they're going to give me. I don't care if you give me money or don't give me the money. God taking care of me. That's all I said, Lord. You give me life. You give me life. You let that blood run warm in my veins. I'm going to tell somebody about you. I go to church. I will visit the church here and there. And I'm sitting in the back. And the preacher said, the pastor's in the house. What you got? Well, I could have said, well, I'm just here to listen today, this morning. This afternoon I'm just listening. I just come to visit with you. But when they call upon you, well, Mr. Jones in the house. Mr. Jones, can you have a prayer for the people today? Yeah, jump up, go on. That may be your last time honoring God with the gifts that he put in your body. No, you come forth and let it go. And let it go. Hallelujah. And don't try to figure what you're going to say. God going to give you every word that you need to say for that particular time. Because that's who he is. He don't play. People trying to figure it out. All I want to do is do what he says. Well, Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the prophetess on the line. Prophetess, I pray that you can come on Friday and give me a break. I would appreciate it if you can't. That's too good, too. You know, we still continue. But we appreciate if you could come in on Friday and help us out. You know, let the Lord use you however he chooses to use you. And we'll be grateful. We pray that one Saturday, maybe this Saturday, if Minister Jones is off on this Saturday, if he's not busy, he can come inside there and bring a word for us. So you got to keep sharpening your skills. Every chance you get, sharpen your skills. Because we are in war. Now, I'm not talking about Israel. I'm not talking about Hamas. I'm not talking about Hezbollah or Syria or Egypt. I'm talking about we are in a spiritual war. You may not see it, but we are in a spiritual war. Satan is raging. I'm telling you, he's raging. I never seen or heard about so many murders. All types of murders going on. I never seen, and I mean horrific murders. People are committing murders like, oh my God. It scares you to see the stuff that people, but the stuff we hear people are doing. You know, it's crazy. The woman just killed her three children, little children. I said, my God, how can you bring a child, have a child in your womb for nine months? You carry them treasure for 9 months, each of them, and then you're going to get despondence or something that mess with your spirit, man, and you're going to kill your three children. Just kill them. That's like I said, yeah, I was watching this program and Israel, and he said that one of Hamas, but I tell you that, but I don't know what God, I can't tell how God going to react to that. But they say one of the men kids, two or three kids, and put in the oven, close the oven door, and heat up the oven, and burn them kids up. Burn them up. You can hear the cries of them kids inside the oven. Burn them up in the oven, and you have these people running on the street saying, oh, Israel, listen, Israel didn't call for that stuff. Israel gave away land. They gave away land that God gave them, according to the book of Exodus. They gave away the land, some of the land that God gave to them, because they want peace. They want peace They said, we got me to live in this little piece of land here, and you all can live over here. But they don't want Israel to be part of life at all. They don't want Israel to exist at all. Taking in black Ethiopian Jews are coming in from Ethiopia and moving to Israel by the thousands from Ethiopia. And in Israel, Jerusalem is taking them in. You know, but they want to wipe out Israel. But it will not happen. Not according to this book that I read. He said that they will come out after Israel from four different directions. That's what the Bible says. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, they're going to come from four corners. But they're not going to succeed. You know, they've been doing this for years, trying to destroy Israel. They can't do it. Because God brought them out. He washed them. He cleansed them up. Even when they reject him and they go to different places, God goes out and bring them back. Or he sends somebody to get them. Remember what he did with her? Darius, in the book of Daniel, he sent Darius to rescue Israel and bring them back to the land. You can't destroy them. You can't destroy that thing that God blessed. If God blessed something, you can't curse it. You can't destroy it. Hallelujah. So we need to pray for peace. We need to pray for peace for the Palestinians and get rid of Hamas, ISIS, get rid of the evil out of the land. You see? And then they got to stop Iran. They got to stop Iran. Because Iran is like the snake. It's like the cobra snake. You have to cut off the head of the cobra snake. Iran is setting up all of this evil up in the people trying. But this Israel don't want Hamas. Israel don't want Gaza. They want to live in peace with their people. You see, and once they conquer, once they completely get rid of Hamas, you know what they're going to do? They're going to install, with the United States, they're going to install a government from the Palestinians. And let the Palestinians, because that's what they wanted in the first place, the Palestine people to run Gaza. But the Hamas came in there and take over control and then treat their own people bad. You understand? They take the food. They take the oil. You see, a lot of people don't see what's going on. You got to go in there and look and see. I know I got some folk on here that look at YouTube and Periscope and all the places. And Messenger, and you see that stuff on there. They take the cut the pipes up out the ground, dig up the pipes out the ground. These people are wicked. They dig the pipe up out the ground that's supposed to run water, and then they're blaming Israel, say Israel cut off the water. No, Hamas dig up the pipes, and they make rockets with the pipes. Go and look in for yourself. You'll see it on YouTube, and they make rockets with the pipes to bomb Israel. And then they blame Israel, say Israel is cutting off the water from the people. Hamas cut the electric wires and using the copper to make bombs. Man, these people are wicked people. Then you got Palestine. Palestine would not let in Egypt, and all of them are Muslims. They wouldn't let the Gaza people come in to their country, but they want to send them all to America, all to America. And what America doing? They're letting everybody in. We got the terrorists coming in here, the ISIS, and we got the Muslim terrorists. We got the Palestine terrorists. We got them all coming in here, and they're getting ready to hit this country too. They're getting ready to hit this country like never before. I'm telling you something. You think, let me tell you something. You can take my word for it. I don't take it. I might be gone or I might be still here, but I feel I'm going to be still here because I asked the Lord for a certain years, and I feel he's going to keep me that long. And I'm feeling the energy that he put in my body at my age. But let me tell you something. You're going to see something happen in this country pretty shortly. Let me tell you something. I don't want you to get afraid. What I want you to do is to be prepared to do the will of God, because people are going to run looking for the church. The Bible says they're going to look for the word. They're going to search for the word and can't find it. But I want you to be ready to teach people and preach people right now, because some things getting ready to take off in shut up in here in America, like you never seen before. You think 9/11 was something? Who? With these folk, there's so much of them people that are here right now, terrorists in here. I heard the FBI guy talking about the DNA. And we got to get, he said, all of us got to be vigilant. In other words, you got to be aware of your surroundings. When you go into the grocery store, pay attention. If you go to the gas station, pay attention. Even at the hospital, pay attention. Pay attention. If you see something that looks out of place, call somebody. Don't say, well, I saw that bag. I saw that backpack over here. It just looked like somebody. No, call somebody. Because you might save thousands of people or hundreds of people's lives. Somebody just go in that store and the whole store blow up. Call somebody. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. Thank you for the prophetess. Thank you for the minister. Thank you for Deacon. Thank you for Apostle Stuart. Thank you for Brother Mark on with us. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you've given us, O God, that surpasses all understanding. God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for how you're washing over the nation, that even though all this trouble is going on in the land, you are still in control, Lord. You're still ruling. You're still sitting high and looking low, Lord. There's nothing that happened in the earth that you don't know, God. Nothing is catching you by surprise, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you watch over our children. Watch over the babies, oh God, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you watch over the marriages. Oh, Father, even there's so many people that are getting divorced, Lord. We ask you, God, to touch marriages right now, Lord God. And, Father, we pray for the Prime Minister of Israel, oh God, Jerusalem, Lord. We pray, oh God, that you continue to, oh God, order his steps in your word. God, we ask you to let him make the sound decisions, oh God. Oh God, as the people are praying on the battlefield, I was just blessed to see the soldiers praying on the battlefield, praying to Jehovah God. And Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, even for Hamas, oh God. We pray for the Palestine people, oh God. We pray for the people in Egypt, oh God, in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran. We pray for those in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Oh God, we just pray for those in Germany. We pray for those in Italy. Oh, Father, we pray for those in Britain, England, Lord God, in Canada, Lord God. They are rioting, they're protesting everywhere. But, Father, we know, God, that you have all the answers that we need in this earth realm, oh God. So, God, you said if we call, you would answer, that you would show us great and mighty things that we have no knowledge of. You said if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, Father, you said you would hear from heaven. You will forgive our sins and heal our land. We pray, Father God, that even as we go through the valley of shadow of death, we have fear no evil, for God, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh God, you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and you anoint our head with oil. You cause our cup to run over. Jesus, we ask you today, Lord God, to bring healing in the nations, oh God. We ask you to touch Africa, Lord God. Lord, there's so many witchcraft or warlocks and oh, God, and so many witches and warlocks in Africa, Lord God. Even right here in New York City, Lord God, in Boston, Massachusetts, so many witches and warlocks. Oh, God, what that place to call over there. They have so many, Salem, Massachusetts, have so many warlocks, oh, God. Oh, Father, we just pray right now, Lord God. We all pray, God, that you bring down the break down the shrines, oh God. Lord, cause the shrines to fall, oh God. Even when they go up there cooking up potions and making potions, let the potions return to them, oh God. Oh God, we come today, God. Everyone that using a Ouija board, oh God, we ask, oh God, that the numbers turn back to them. Oh God, those that using crystal balls and magician wands and oh God, all what do you call it, juju and all the stuff they're using, God. We ask that, God, let it turn back. Those that are setting traps, oh God, and marking people's footprints and burning candles and incense and all this sage and stuff that they're using in witchcraft, Lord God, calling up people's names before the devil, oh God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, turn it back to them, God. We come against sickness right now in the body of Christ, oh God. We come against all forms of sickness, God. We come against, oh God, every form of sickness, every form of infirmity, Lord. We come against cancers, every form of cancer, Lord. Lord God, we come against, oh God, emphysema, Lord God. We come against, oh God, doubt, oh God, arthritic pains, oh God. We come against inflammation in the joints, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Father, we come against high blood pressure, low blood pressure. We come against, oh, God, diabetes. Yes, Lord. And mighty God, we pray right now. We're praying for the one that is suffering. Oh, God, yes, Lord, suffering. Oh, God, with, oh, God, heart problems right now, God. We come against that right now. We ask, oh, God, that you strengthen the arteries, oh, God. Strengthen the walls of the arteries and remove the plaque out of the arteries, oh, God, that the blood, oh, God, will flow freely, Lord, God. We come right now in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the numbness, oh, God, that one that's suffering with numbness in the joints, oh, God, in the feet, in the hands, oh, God. Lord, God, we come against it right now. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing the eyes, oh, God. Somebody's suffering with eye pains, oh God, the eyes of hell, God, hurting with pain, burning with like fire, Lord God. Oh God, we ask you to soothe the eyes right now. Oh God, the tissues, oh God, yes, yes, Lord. Let the light come in fine, oh God, that they will see clearly, Lord. Touch that one that have inflammation, inflammation in the ears, oh God. It seems like they're going deaf in one ear, but Lord, today I speak healing to the ears right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh God, I come in for this. There's somebody suffering with thyroid problems. You're in computer land, and you're suffering with thyroid problems, but I pray today that the thyroid glands are operating right. Oh God, I come against it right now. Oh God, that inflammation in the thyroid glands. In the name of Jesus, I command it to heal right now, to heal. Oh, flush, be flushed out of the body right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you right now. I thank you right now. I pray for that preacher that's operating in a Kundalini spirit, in the Marine spirit. I come against you, preacher, and I command you, oh God, to submit to the kingdom. Submit to God's kingdom, not Satan's kingdom. Got to make it clear to Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shabbos, Jehovah El Elion, go, yes, Emmanuel, to submit right now. Submit now in the name of Jesus, that if you don't submit, that God take away the preached word out of your mouth and put you down on your behind if you don't submit and surrender, oh God, commit to God, submit and commit to God in the name of Jesus. I come against that witch. Yes, Lord, I come against that witch that all it's doing is preaching that stuff just to make money and using people's names, oh God, and calling up people's names in the satanic oracles. But now today, in the name of Jesus, I command the power of God, the power of the light of God, to shine in your pathway and move that darkness out of your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I come against every false prophet, every false teacher. Oh my God, I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to let the fire of God arise in us and begin to burn on the inside and burn everything that's not like you, God. Take the coals from the altar, God, and put upon our lips, because we have unclean lips, oh God, dwelling among people with unclean lips in the name of Jesus. Father, allow us to speak to them. Truth and nothing but the truth. Not only speak it, but God, allow us to live the truth, oh God. Oh God, we thank you this morning. This morning, we thank you, God, for speaking through us, to keeping us, oh God, in the land of the living. God, we pray for all family members. We pray for our sons and daughters and grandsons and great-granddaughters and granddaughters. Lord, we pray for all those, our friends, and even those that walked away from us and those that are with us. We're praying for people today, for God's people, to rise up, oh God, and take a stand for righteousness, take a stand for holiness. We're praying right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that every preacher, my God, every minister, every deacon, every usher, my God, our God, every teacher, every pastor, every evangelist, every prophet, every prophetess, every apostle, every bishop, my God, now just stand up, oh God, and begin to teach and preach the gospel. Begin to live the gospel, oh God, that we not be just hearers of the word, but we'll be doers of the word. Father, we declare this day, this evening, right now, oh God, that you are sending out change. Oh God, you are dispatching the whole heavenly host, oh God, to travel through the corridors of this earth, oh God, and begin to enter into the houses of God, into the hearts of men and women that you have called out of darkness into your marvelous light, God. I call them out, oh God. I call them out, oh God, to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness. Oh Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, we saturate the atmosphere, God. We call your presence into this atmosphere, God. And we ask you, oh God, to move on the hearts and minds of people today all over the world, God, in Africa, in India, in China, in Japan, in Afghanistan, Pakistan, oh God, in Ghana, oh God, in Southeast, South Africa,
North Africa, East Africa, West Africa. Lord, we ask you to touch Nigeria. Oh, my God, we ask you to go through, Lord. There's so many witches and warlocks in Nigeria. There's so many shrines, oh, God, so many satanic shrines. But, Father, I ask you, oh, God, to dispatch the archangels, oh, God, to pull down those shrines, oh, God, and let Satan go back to the pit of hell where he came from. Oh, God, move through Kenya. Oh, God, go in Kenya, Lord. There's so many stores, oh, so many warlock stores that you can go in and buy stuff. But, God, we command the devil to go back to the pit of hell where he came from. Go back into that burning fire, oh God, where he have no peace, have no joy, have no rest, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you call the prophets, oh God, and the prophetess, the pastors and the teachers, the evangelists, the teachers to rise up, oh God, rise up with the fire of God, rise up with the spirit of God and begin to manifest, oh God, miracles and signs, oh God, glory, to begin to work through, follow your people, oh God, for you say that signs and wonders should follow us, oh God, as we break bread, oh God, with one another. Father, we pray today, oh God, that you bring us on one accord. We are praying that you bring us on one accord, oh God. Yes, God, bring us on one accord. Heal our minds, oh God. Heal our hearts, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to come into the crevices of our hearts, oh God, and fill them with the gospel. Fill them with new wine, new oil, new wine, oh God. Oh God, and the wise kings are ready to receive new wine. We ask you to fill us, oh God. Fill us today, God. Fill us even right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we'll be so careful, oh God. We'll be so careful, oh God, as you fill us, oh God. Oh God, to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. We are thanking God and praising God for you all. This is the way the Lord takes me today. We know that in the message there's salvation. So we want to ask you today, if you're out there in computer land and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can receive him now. And simply just the Lord Jesus, I have heard the word. And I realize that I'm not where I ought to be. I realize that I'm still living in sin, and I don't know you as my Savior. I believe, Lord Jesus, in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth right now that you died on the cross on a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, or Calvary. Same place, different name, but same place. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose again on the third day as a testimony that you has paid the price that we owed, the price that we could not pay. Jesus, today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I come to you open heart and with an expected soul, expecting that you would save me, deliver me, set me free. In Jesus' name. If you just said that prayer, very uncommon, because I'm just coming down off a prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a canon of this Jesus and the apostles that we teach and preach about every day. Give yourself the opportunity to learn, to get a better understanding of who Jesus is. You know, it's good to hear the preacher talk about Jesus, but it's even better when you get an understanding for yourself. You know, you hear people talking about this thing and that thing, and so, but when you study it for yourself, and high, getting an encounter with the Holy Ghost, it's nothing like that. Nothing compares to you. So study. And then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, somebody, and tell them, know how to baptize in Jesus' name. Tell them that you received the gift of salvation and that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Tell them that you received the gift of salvation and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 38, because you repent for your sin, and now you've given your life to Christ Jesus, but you want to be baptized. Tell them, you know, because it's in your mouth. The Bible said the word is nigh unto thee, even in your mouth. And you got to speak it, because when you speak it, you make the devil mad. You understand? When you speak it, you make the devil mad. He don't want you to speak it. Invite, and then you're going to go down in that what we call the liquid grave. You're going down that liquid grave. And when you're going down there, you die into the world. All that stuff that had you in bondage, had me in bondage, and had you, you are leaving in that pool. Just like the man that was at the pool. And all those people that come when the water was troubled, they would go in the pool, and they came up the pool, and they would be different. But the man that couldn't get in the pool, he didn't have to go in the pool. He met Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus spoke to him, and he received his healing. And while you're going down that water, guess who's going to the water with you? Jesus is going to be in the water too. He is going to be in the water. He the one who going to really baptize you in the Spirit when you go down that water. Because when you come over that water, you're going to be filled. I remember like yesterday when I got baptized, man, I took off running. And the lady that baptized me, she was an elder. She said, leave him alone. Everybody was trying to hold me back. She said, leave him alone. He got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Leave him alone. And I was running, crying. Laughing and everything at the same time. I was just crying. Snorting my nose, everything was coming out. But I was happy. I never felt anything like that. All the drugs and stuff that I used when I was out there never got me as high as that day. I'll never forget that day when I gave my life to Jesus and when I went down that water. Oh, he just blessed me. He blessed me with a joy that I can't tell nobody. You know, if you even tell somebody about the experience that you have, they will never understand. You know, they look at you like you're crazy. Say, man, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so, people look at you like you're crazy. You hear what I'm saying? They don't understand. They don't understand. So, my friend, when you go down that water, you come out that water, you're coming out filled. You know, leaving all your stuff down there, and you're coming out that water receiving the fresh anointing. You know, you run off. Now you look for the church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Just get yourself involved in the ministry, okay? But God bless you all. I thank you all that received the gift of salvation and those that will receive at a later date. Go ahead and just give God some praise for salvation and get in the church that teaching and preaching and get to work. Go to work. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Just go to work. Don't be a spectator, because a lot of people become part of the body, but all they want to do is be just like, say, they want to get fat. They want more and more word. But every time they get the word, they don't use the word that they have. They want more. They tell stuff like, I can't wait to get back to church next week to get some more word from the pastor. Well, what you doing with the word that you got now? Use the word. Tell somebody. That's how people get saved. The more you tell, the more people get saved. So God bless you all. The lane is now open. The lane is open for anyone that want to come and add some more to the word. And we thank God for you all. The line is open.
God bless you, Father. Enjoy the word.
God bless you, Minister Jones.
Oh, my God. Man, I can't say nothing behind that. I just want to say I thank God for your word. It was so good. And I enjoy getting the word every day. And it just makes you do better, you know, even as a minister. They have to search and search. The word of God is like a lamp unto our feet. It's a mirror to help us to search ourselves and to make sure we don't have us. The Bible says Jesus coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And so, man, I tell you, man, that word was so good. And you said you were touching on everything. I mean, man, you hit everything. I mean, it was beautiful. I thank God for a good word, though. It's like going to a buffet. You cooked everything just right. Everything was seasoned right. And like you said earlier, I laughed so hard. I was driving that whole time real hard when you said it was. They preached they put so much sugar on it that you can't taste the lemonade. You got me on that one. You got him back. But I thought about that. They wanted to have so much like they could give you a selling pot mattress, man. I'm telling you, man, it's sad. And, you know, it's just sad that we're in that time where, you know, the Bible did say that, and in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves, truth breakers, powerful, disobedient to parents. You know, and this time we're living in where, you know, you got people that's, you know, you got some leaders that's full of pride. Then you got some of these people, God ain't even behind. They just took the briefcase, or they just went up and grabbed the Bible and just went. They headed for their own, you know, material agenda or reason. You know, they not in it for people to be saved. You got those that, you got different churches around. You got the Church of Christ, and you got the Harlot Church. And so you got to know the difference, and how to know the difference, you need the Holy Ghost. You know, and you really need the Spirit of God, especially in this hour, because of what's going on. And I know you were talking about the cryptocurrency, but they had that, because you can tell by if you go in your grocery store, I'm trying to cover everything as fast as I can. When you go in your grocery store, you can see it. We got self-checkout in Walmart, self-checkout at Family Dollar, Dollar General, Dollar Tree. You got self-checkout. And even at the truck stop now, you know, some truck stops, they don't even take cash no more. You got to have a card. And I've been to whole truck stop where you had to have all your money on the card to be able to get a shower, get something to eat, or whatever, depending on what state you're in. But that's what we had there, so cashless society. And, they're going to start off with the whole cryptocurrency, but the agenda is to push the mark, the New World Order. And we already in it already. We with the cameras in the road, they got, you know, not just at the with truck drivers, they had the scale houses, and they got cameras. They've been having cameras out here. It's just a lot of people that didn't know they were there. And, you know, it's more obvious now because we got the new technology where everybody, you know, paying more attention now. But they've been having cameras. They got cameras on your, you look at your street corner, certain areas. And they got them blue lights. Those are cameras. Those are what they call Autobots. Autobots, robot cameras. Where they monitor the whole neighborhood and stuff and all that. Yeah. So they've been having been monitored. Even in Walmart. When you walk to Walmart and you look at it, if you ever get a chance, they open them two doors up and up. If you look on the side, as soon as you walk in, that big ball that's sitting over there, that's a camera. They scan you by your face, your identity. I think we talked about this before. We're preaching, and they scan your whole face. Your face is your ID. Even at some of these stoplights, when you go to these cameras, and they got those cameras there, you don't have to put out your ID no more. Your face is your ID. That's why they can ID you by you having a mask on or without a mask. And so that's just a new world agenda. It's already being forced upon us. It's already, they just doing it. They being recrafted to the Americans. And other nations, they already done passed a lot of the New World Order where they're not using money anymore. It's just a miracle. You know, we for anything go, do what you want to do in this country. They just can't do it on American people, so they're using craftiness, and they're doing it real slow about going by doing it, but they're pushing the world leaders in America, the nation of America, to go ahead and push the New World Order. And that's what we had, I believe, they'll probably be rolling out by the beginning of next year, because they already been rolling out, but they've been doing it real slow, and then, you know, trying to do everything by the robot with the self cameras. Like, even the cameras in these new TVs that you buy, they got cameras on it. If they want to monitor our AI, and they want to look in on you, say certain words about the president, anything, automatic, your phone or your TV, your new TV that they got cameras on, they come on, and they listen to your conversation and start recording you. And so, you know, they've been doing that, you know, it just, you know, thank God that God is waking us up, and that's what I think about. I love God by having the Holy Spirit. When you got the Holy Ghost, God's not going to let us be not let us be blind on what the enemy is doing. He going to allow the enemy to show his hand. He has to show his hand, because that's the way God wanted, wrote it, you know. And so I just thank God for a powerful word today, man, especially when you say about that famine. Man, you can tell it's a famine in the word of God. That's what I tell people all the time. Once you receive salvation, like he gave at the end of his radio broadcast about receiving salvation, and you know, and you start getting your words, you know, from the New Testament, and then you want to go to the beginning of Genesis, you know, but then asking God to give you a path after his heart. And if you seek after God for real and receive his Holy Spirit, God will lead you where to go at when you get worded. There's somebody out there. God ain't going to have this whole nation and this whole world when he ain't got nobody. It's more of us than it is them. And God's going to have somebody that's going to tell the truth. He's going to speak so well. That's why, in the last day, we look at Revelation. You know, after they thought they had got rid of the church, and they had left, God sent two witnesses. He's going to keep sending witnesses. That way, when we all stand before God, God's going to be justified in his justice and what he's going to do to us if we don't get right with him. So I just thank God for the word. It was good. I thank God for truth. As the Bible says, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free, if you want to be free, because everybody don't want to be free. You got some people that, you know, within an hour or not, like I was saying a few minutes ago, and I'm say it again, that within an hour, a man of lovers of himself. And, you know, the Bible says it's going to be like that. Man, love, they got pride, they do whatever you want to do. I don't care what nobody else say, and it's my life, and you got your life, I got my life, and there's no law, and we're in a time of lawlessness. No people don't want rules no more. Everybody can have rules, but you can't have rules in the church. The courthouse can have rules. Your job can have rules. They tell you what to wear and not to wear at your job. But then when it comes to the church house, people don't want you to tell them how they should conduct themselves and dress. And so that's the time we're living in. And we just have to keep praying that we stay, you know, be like, you know, I hear prophets say sometimes to me, I'll be accounted, pray that we be accounted worthy, and then be watch as well as pray. The Bible tells us to watch and pray. We have to watch and pray and have a prayer life. Ask God to help us, and the enemy is fighting each and every one of us on this radio broadcast. Even though they're a friend, just because you're a child of God don't mean you're not at war. As soon as you wake up in the morning, you got a war going on in the spirit for your soul. And so you got to either, it's who you bet. The Bible says whoever you yield your member to, that's who you serve it to. And so we got to yield our members. That's God, like Romans 12 and 1 saying, I love saying it. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, hold yourself unto God, which is a real servant. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transferred by the renewing of mind. That's through the word of God. God bless you. Love y'all.
No, you too, Mr. Jones. Thank God for that powerful responding. You adding to it, you know. That is good. We thank God for you. Stay strong, stay faithful, and stay led by the Lord, you know. Because the Bible said they that are led by the Spirit is sons of God. You know, so stay led by him. Let him lead you. He'll tell you when to release out of you what he put in your belly for somebody out there at the truck stop. Because there's people out there, man. They want the word. They're hungry. They're thirsty. We just got to be willing to give to them, ready to give to them, you know. So anyway, the line is open. Thank you so much again.
Hey, Apostle, another thing I meant to say, I ain't trying to, take all the radio time. But another thing I want to say, you know, when you're saying a famine, you can tell it's a famine because you can hardly find truth anymore. You see this new stuff they're doing in these churches now. You wonder, like, man, are you really reading out your Bible? And then some of them not reading out their Bible. If you go in a church and a man of God is not coming from there, taking that word and splitting that word down and giving you scripture, then you need to question that. You know, the Bible says you're going to follow your leaders if they follow Christ. When they start following Christ, then you need to run. You don't follow somebody because of popularity or because they got a name. And that was wrong with the generation now. They're following people because they're on TV or they hang by certain celebrities and their church real big and they done made a gospel record and they follow these people and they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. They just doing all this motivational speaking and making people sound good. They're moving the crowd, but people are leaving the same way. They're going and coming in the same way and leaving out the same way. And then they got some of these pastors that leaders that act like they protecting you from God. Like, you can't protect nobody from God by not telling them the truth.
That's right.
Like, how you gonna protect me? Tell me the truth. You know what I'm saying? If you see me about to die, tell me I'm about to die. That's like you. It's like a pastor, a man, a woman of God, just like the doctor. I'm going to the doctor. Don't lie to me and tell me you see cancer on me, and you're going to tell me, oh, man, you all right. You're just take this here, and everything will be all right. You see me about to die, and my leg about to fall off, and you're going to tell, you trying to protect me from cancer instead of telling me, hey, man, just do this here, take this here, and this will help you get better, and you'll start feeling better. And that's why you need the truth. You know, you want somebody, a person that loves you, they're going to tell you the truth. Man, they heard the Bible. The word of God is like a two-inch sword. It's going to cut on you. It's going to cut on you, but it's going to help you. You know, if you go to, you can't tell the surgeon how to build the new surgery on you. You can't tell a mechanic when you need an oil change and a tune-up, or you need to get your brakes done, how to put the brakes on. And they know how to do that. They know how to do it the right way. They don't put that's just like if you don't get a brake job done, if you don't put them brakes on that right, or you don't put them screws on that right, the wheel won't come on. And so that's the same way in the spirit. You got to make sure you're getting done right. Don't be in a church where people scared to tell you the truth. Why would you be scared to tell me the truth when it comes out of my soul? And it hurt me that people go to these churches like that where the pastor's scared to tell people the truth, or they act like they're protecting the people. I don't want to say that. They care more about making sure they get money in the basket than people's soul. So, you know, we just got to keep the prayer, continue praying, asking God to help us. God bless you, Apostle. Love you, man.
Love you too, brother. Thank you so much for that. Strong response. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You need the truth. I need the truth. I tell the truth, you know, because I know people say, well, I'm going to him, but I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't want to go to hell. And, you know, every time I talk about that, it just reminds me of that man, that preacher that said he preached for 40-something years. And I know you've seen that movie called The Rapture. And that thing, man, that thing woke me up, man. I mean, that preacher stayed on there. He had all these young preachers just come from the barber shop, had his hair blocked real nice. I mean, his hair was nice haircut, you know. And he was even hitting on a sister that was a Christian girl that was at the barber, bring her little boy at the barber shop to get his hair trimmed. He was hitting on her. He was a preacher. He was one of the young pastors. But guess what? When God came in and lifted up the people, started to rapture the people out of the church, that young pastor that was hitting on the Christian girl in the church, in the barber shop, he was left behind. And his pastor, the main pastor of the church, the senior pastor was left behind. You know, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be left behind. You know, you could be the church for 30, 40, 50 years, and truth be told, you don't enter into heaven.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You don't
live
into the heaven. Because we haven't lived that you got to live. I always say, the Lord gave me years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I can't tell you exactly, because I didn't mark it down. But the Lord said to me, I preached the message, you got to live again. You know, people say, well, I'm just going to die. No. I'm not just going to die. I'm going to live again because I'm living to live again, you know. You got to live again. That's how you live again. And how you live to live again, you live holy. Live holy because the Bible tells you so.
No man will see God unless he be holy. Without holiness, no man will see God. See, I mean, you're going to see him as a judge, regardless. But you're not going to see him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going to see him as a judge, where he's going to condemn it, that person to hell. And he tell you, depart from me. I never knew you, work of iniquity. You understand? Because preach. That man, God this and this, Lord this, and the Lord is this and Lord that. But they're not living. That don't say that we're not going to make a fault. We're going to make faults. We're going to come up short from time to time. But guess what? We know that we can go to him. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all. I love that. He said all unrighteousness. No matter if you got a little bit inside, he said, yeah, I cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lord, I just thank God. I just thank God that he doesn't give us what we deserve. But he's so loving and so kind that he gives us what we need. All we got to do is trust in him, resist the devil, and let the devil flee. Because he tell me the devil can only devour them who love him. That's why he walking from like a ruined land. He's an old land. And he's just seeking who he may devour, because he can't devour everybody. We got Christ. We washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil can't devour him. That don't mean he ain't going to talk to you, because the devil don't stop talking. He'll come and tell us stuff that sounds good, because he know what we like. He know what our flesh like, what we used to. He'll come and tell us, talk in our ear gate. That's why you got to tell him, shut up, devil. I'm not listening to you, devil. Shut up. I said, shut up, devil. I said, who are you talking to? I said, devil, shut up. They said, who are you talking to? I said, that old devil. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to talk in my ear. You know, I did that thing at the gas station. People looking at me like I was losing my mind. I said, shut up, devil. I was at the gas station. People look at me. I know you all looking at me crazy, but that old devil is trying to take me back where I came from, where God brought me from. I just had to tell him, shut up. The man just shook his head. I said, yeah. Because I ain't going to let that devil pull me back. And he's trained hard. Trained hard to pull me back in my bad life, in my past life. That's what the devil does. He ain't going to give up. The Bible tells us that in the book of Matthew. He said he leave your house, he goes around seeking a dry place to rest his head. If you don't find a place, he come back with seven other demons. That means it's going to be worse than when he leave the house. He can tear up that house worse than when he leave. That's why we got to put word in. We got to put word in every single day. You got to put word in. So when the devil come back, he find your house clean and well furnished. Furnished with the word of God. It's in your heart. Devil can't enter. Can't enter where the word is. Hallelujah. That's why he wants us to, he's trying to get us to deny the word of God. Reject the word. That's what God, that's what he said in the book. He says, God withdraw the revelation of the word from the people, because they rejected him. See, people turn away. You see it happening right now. Preachers are leaving the church. They're leaving the church. And they're going doing their own thing. So, well, I'm tired of preaching. I don't feel like preaching anymore. I just tired of preaching. And they're going back in the world. And then the devil smacked them up with that song. Said, whoops. Whoops up against your head. Let the devil hit them up next to their head. Because they don't want to stand in the fire with the Lord. You know, it's not easy preaching. It's not easy teaching. You know, if you're going to be a preacher or teacher, it's not easy. You're going to face all kinds of stuff. You can imagine you preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden your car breaking down, your refrigerator break, garbage disposal break, dishwasher giving trouble, you know, furnace giving problems, all this stuff going on, light bill, the water bill, the gas bill, all this stuff, and you don't get as much hours as you used to get before on your job because They're cutting back on the job. I've seen the thing saying that all these people getting laid off. You know what happened? And guess what happened? People going to go on to start doing a lot of crazy stuff because the devil testing them. Can you trust God? Can you trust God to take care of your problems? I trust him. I tell you, I trust him with everything that's within me. Because, you know, I retired. I don't have this. I don't have it like that before. But God take care of me. He makes sure that every need is met. And if your need is met, you don't have to worry about that you ain't got the 80-inch TV. If you got a little 32-inch or 40-inch, you can see the movie that you want to see or watch the news, hear the news. Man, that's enough. But don't get all bent over the shit. Start arguing with everybody got big TV. Man, so what? You can see the same picture on the small TV. Same picture. Not as big, but the same picture. And if your car can get you from point A to point B, get you back and forth, that's all you need. I got to get a Lamborghini. I got to get a Bentley because all them preachers got Bentleys. That's fine. You know I got a Cadillac Platinum. And I got it in 2014. Well, it's paid off. But if you see it, even on Facebook, you think it's a brand new car. Because it belongs to God. I tell people all the time, the preacher said, man, your car is nice. You got nice cars. I said, no, that's God's car. I said, I don't say God's car. I said, that's God's chariot. I just taking care of it. They look at me strange. I said, yes, it's God's chariot. I'm taking care till I got to give back. But when I leave here, I got to leave it behind. I can't take it with me. So I'm taking care of it. And they send me all the time, they send me that little a letter in the mail. They say, well, Mr. Callender, you can come and bring in your car and get a new car because they want to put me in more debt, see? But I said, no, I don't need a new car. That car paid off, you know. And nobody can come and take it from there and say that they're repossessed. They can't repossess it. It's completely paid off. You got to thank God. Praise God. Whatever you got, just you praise God, take care of it. Even if it's an older car, God will give you a new car. As long as you take care of it, clean it up, keep it clean inside and outside. Because it belongs to God. You're just the caretaker. Just like the church building. People around push it. Oh, that's my church. He's my... You ain't went to no cross. Man, preachers just bum me up with that stuff. I don't know. I don't know who tell them that stuff, but it just bums me up. They say, and my church and my members. Man, you don't know. I tell some. You don't know how that thing bummed me up. Bummed me up real bad. And they push their chest up. Oh, my members, my church. Don't go to the nursing home. One of them get old and had to go to the nursing home. I got to go to the hospital. 3 pastors of them preachers don't go to the hospital looking for people in the hospital. Don't call. I had a guy here was here, man, working for the government, giving good tithes, man. And he was paying big money. We were both in the same church. That man had tax in his body. Sugar diabetes, blood pressure, all kinds of stuff that he's painting stuff and had to carry him to the hospital by ambulance two or three times. He said to me, he said, Apostle, you know, I've been at this church for such a long time. He's telling me, he says, you know, I've been in the hospital several times. He said, no, my pastor never come to the hospital to look for me or ever even call me at the hospital to see how I was. He said, other people come. Friends of my work, co-workers and stuff come and look for me. So my pastor never come to the hospital. He said, I've been to the hospital and looked for the pastor when the pastor was in the hospital, but he never come and look for me. You know what that boy, that man, eventually did? He leave the church. And he was in the church for a long time. He ain't leaving the church. But a lot of pastors like that, they don't mind you giving an offering and stuff. And I have nothing wrong with the people giving, because I give offering. I don't even like to go to church unless I got money to give, pay the bills. I tell you the truth, that's just me. Me, you don't say you got to have money to come to church, but I don't like to go. I don't like to go if I don't have money. Got something come over me, like I feel like I have to give something to help the church, you know. But if I don't have, I still go. But I don't feel good going when I don't have. I like to give. But, you know, if I hear somebody church sick or something like that, I call them. I say, man, make sure I get the number. Make sure I get the sister so-and-so number, brother so-and-so number. I got to give them a call. And I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to go to the hospital and look for them. That's what you're supposed to do.
you know. But I thank God for you all. The line is open. Anybody else want to say something? If not, we're going to pray, have our Minister Jones come back in and pray us out. And we'll see you all on tomorrow. I'll be back here tomorrow. The Lord say the same. Teaching and preaching, the Lord give us something tonight for tomorrow. Okay? So, come on in, Minister Jones, and pray us out, please.
Yes, sir. Your Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you, Lord, for prayers that already went up, God. We thank you, Lord. God, you say your word is a lamp unto our feet. God, we just thank you for your word and your promise, Lord. You said no man should live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of your mouth, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, today, to ask you, Lord, to forgive us, Lord, if we haven't made promises that we didn't keep, Lord. Help us, Lord, continue to walk in your word and hide the word in our heart that we won't sin against you. And we'll continue to be able to do your will and do the calling that you have called us to do in Jesus' name, Lord. Continue, Lord, to bless Apostle Callender and all the apostles and ministers and prophets and prophetess and everyone that's on this line. Bless every man and woman of God. God, continue to let your anointing rest upon them that they're able to walk in your stature and do your will in the name of Jesus, Lord. Cover us with your blood throughout the day, Lord. Cover us, Lord, as we go out and about, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to continue, God, to seek you, Lord, and stay. Keep our minds stayed on you, Lord. Stay in your word. Help us, Lord God, to be all you call us to be in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, continue blessing Africa, keep aligning Israel, Lord, all them countries, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Keep our children, Lord. Cover us, Lord, with your blood, Lord. We forever bless your name and give your name to the Lord and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. Have a blessed evening. Safe evening. Stay safe out there and pay attention to your surroundings, okay? God bless you. If you're off on Saturday, I don't know if you work Saturday. If you're off on Saturday, if you don't go to the church building on Saturday, if you can come in on Saturday, or let me know whenever
yes,
Saturday you can come in and bring a word, okay? Let
yes,
me know.
Sir. No problem. Yes, sir.
But,
God bless you. Love you. Yes, sir.
I love you too. Ask the prophetess if she can come in on Friday, okay? All right?
Yep. Yes,
you can
sir.
Send me a message on Facebook. Let me know. All right. God bless you all. I love you guys. God love you more. Bye-bye.
Love you too.